the Didi Kinkabwala of the NFL Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Didi, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm kind of out of breath.
What's the matter with you?
I mean,
you sound like you got a cold. You got a cold?
Where's the off season? No, I mean, I do have a little bit of a cold, but that's not what I mean. I just mean, like, where's the quiet period? Where is the quiet period?
It's gone.
Well, not in Pittsburgh. There's nothing quiet about Pittsburgh right now.
Pittsburgh is the new Cleveland.
You know, something funny. So I've been at the NFL Network for 7 football seasons, which means I've had 7 free agency frenzy periods to cover. I have never been in the city of Pittsburgh during free agency because the Pittsburgh Steelers really don't do much. I mean, quite frankly, I'm usually in Cleveland. I was in Cleveland last year for free agency. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's crazy. The dysfunction with that, like, we're used to the Steelers, Aditi, being a bastion of respectability, right? And, like, stability. And now Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat, the best wide receiver in football, one of the best wide receivers in football. He's a disaster, wants to get traded. The Le'Veon Bell situation's a mess. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, what kind of part does he – you know, he seems to be getting a pass in all of this, and he shouldn't because he's not a good guy either, as we all know. So, and the rest of the world is loving it, Aditi, seeing the Steelers dysfunction.
Okay, wait, let's go back. You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yes.
The Steelers are 100% entirely, completely all in on Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure, yeah, that's
not
true.
Not only did Art Rooney say at his – first press availability at the end of the season with a private group of local reporters that he did not foresee Antonio Brown being a part of the team come training camp. He also said that it was a priority to do an extension with Ben Roethlisberger. And then today, general manager Kevin Colbert had his private confab with local beat writers, and it has been a large topic of conversation, Ben Roethlisberger's weekly radio show. And former players and pundits and current players, all sorts of people have said that some of what Ben Roethlisberger would say on the radio chafed some of the current players, that perhaps these were conversations that should not have been, not statements that should have been made public at all, period. Whether they're said privately or not, whatever the motivation is, should not be said. Well, Kevin Colbert today said, no, no, no. There are no plans to curb Ben Roethlisberger's radio show. There's no need to tell Ben Roethlisberger to perhaps keep those words private, that Ben Roethlisberger is the elder statesman of this team and perhaps younger players should just listen to him more.
Wow. I mean, that basically goes to what Antonio Brown said on Twitter the other day. He's like, he speaks like he is running the show there, Aditi.
And Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert said, yep, that's perfectly fine with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't think that's great. I mean, I know the quarterback.
But now, another thing that I will say here with Antonio Brown is that Kevin Colbert could not. You know, Brown has just become something of a caricature. And it's hard because when you know someone, so I've known him now for 7 seasons. And has this season been a bit off the rails? Yes. Has he not seemed himself for much of the year? Has there been sort of a level of unhappiness that I've never, ever, ever seen in him? Yes, certainly. Things are awry. There is really nothing that I can defend, from driving 100 miles per hour to throwing furniture out a window to what happened week 17. But having said that, Antonio Brown is a unique person. Everybody is a product of their upbringing to some degree, the way that Ben Roethlisberger is, the way Dustin is, the way Adam is, the way I am, whatever Antonio is. Antonio is an unbelievably emotional player. He's an emotional man, and he's somebody who always needs to feel loved. And far be it from me to be a armchair psychologist here, but he was kicked out of his house when he was in high school. He didn't have a relationship with his father for a period of time. He went all the way up to Central Michigan. He worked his tail off, was a 6th-round draft pick that not much was expected of, and he's one of the hardest workers in the NFL. He is entirely a product of his work ethic. There's all of that. For whatever reason, he just needs to feel loved. And I was talking to somebody who's known him for a long time yesterday, and he said he's just emotionally can't always process why certain things are inequitable, or why certain things, the way that you and I may be able to say, okay, this sucks and it's not fair, but that's life. Mm-hmm. He can't always do that, is what this person was saying to me yesterday.
Yeah, that's tough.
He just always needs to be respected. I mean, we all need to be respected. Everybody needs to feel respected, no matter what. And so this year, Brown didn't feel loved. He didn't feel respected. If he was an 8-year-old, we'd say he was acting out, basically, against right. that, chafing against that. But then Kevin today said that the meeting that they had this week, he was the Antonio Brown that they've always known, that he was nothing like the Brown that you've had the last few weeks, that, you know, he very privately requested a meeting with Art Rooney, and the only people in the room were his dad, himself, and Art Rooney. And then after half an hour, Kevin Colbert and Omer Karan, the assistant general manager, and Drew Rosenhaus, AB's agent, came and sat in the room. It was a productive meeting. You've all certainly seen the picture of Art Rooney and Antonio Brown with their arms around each other smiling. Art Rooney's not smiling if he thinks the guy is an absolute degenerate, you know?
Yeah.
And it's almost as if the face-to-face meeting reminded both sides, okay, this is why we've had this connection for a while. But of course, you know, Colbert said, I don't know that any relationship is irreparable. By the same token, Brown has not, I mean, he's burned every bridge with Ben Roethlisberger right here. So how is he possibly going to repair that?
You can't, right? I mean, even if they repair with Rooney, I think you can't have that in the locker room. So do you believe they still have to trade him, or do you think it's possible they're trying to figure out how to keep him?
I think they try to trade him, and if they don't get what they want, they don't trade him.
So what do they want?
From what I was told, that's what was told to him yesterday, that step away from the keyboard because you are hurting your trade value.
Yeah.
And we will try to make this happen, but we're not being held hostage. So if we're not getting what we think you're worth, you're not going anywhere.
What's he worth, though?
Yeah, what's he worth?
What do they think?
What was Amari Cooper worth?
A one?
Nobody in the history of the NFL has ever put together six seasons like this guy has. Is he turning 31 this July? Yes,
yes.
He is. But I'm telling you again, I have never, ever, ever seen anybody work as hard as this guy. He has physically not lost a step at all. We said that mentally he was gone this year. Something was emotionally and mentally wrong with him all year. All year we talked about how he and Ben Roethlisberger just did not have the chemistry and connection that they have had the previous 8 years. He still had 15 touchdowns.
I'm
not saying that the Steelers will only take a one, but it's not wrong of the Steelers to want a one. I'm not saying that that's what it'll take. I mean, it may take a two and a player. It may take a two. It may take, you know, but I don't think they're getting it done for a three. I don't think it's straight up a third round pick for Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. And you say he's checked out mentally. Do teams feel like he'll be checked in if he gets a new team?
It's funny because I've talked to quite a few team executives, like various people are on various teams about this over the course of the last few days. And my question was essentially, do you say, okay, there were mitigating circumstances. We recognize that this particular situation got toxic for some very particular reasons. And if we get him, he goes back to being that unbelievably productive, tremendously hardworking, very smiley guy. Or is all of this kind of red flaggish? And while most everybody said, yes, yes, you acknowledge that there are mitigating circumstances, and yes, you hope your locker room doesn't have the same sort of combustible forces that caused Antonio Brown to kind of be lit, you still worry that, as one executive put it to me, you still worry, are you getting a headache? Which is part of why Art Rooney said, you know, you need to step back from the keyboard and let's see what happens here. But the other piece to this, guys, is that, and I keep saying this over and over, and they will both tell you this, Antonio Brown will tell you this, and Ben Roethlisberger will tell you this, they are not the same without the other. And what I mean by that on the Antonio Brown side is I have never, ever, ever in my life seen anybody improvise to the degree that Brown and Roethlisberger improvise and still make magic happen. I mean, how many times has Antonio Brown been triple covered and Roethlisberger still throws him the ball, and you're sitting there in the press box or on the sideline, Dustin, and you're saying, oh my God, how did you throw him that ball? And then you say, how did he catch that ball? Like, where does that happen? Literally, Brown makes up routes while he's on the field, and somehow Roethlisberger finds him. One, you're not going to have that chemistry again with anybody else, and two, it's a rare quarterback that's going to put up with that. I mean, even if he went to New England and had Tom Brady, you think Tom Brady's going to put up with that?
No.
I mean, Tom Brady's going to expect him to run the route the way he's supposed to run the route and be where he's supposed to be exactly when he's supposed to be there.
And I can't believe, I keep hearing people say, well, they've got Connor and they've got Juju. And yeah, those guys, Connor's a good player and Juju looks like he's a great player. But I'm sorry, you lose Brown and Bell, and I know that Bell didn't play last year. That's a huge loss. Both of those losses, I don't care what anybody says, that's going to be felt, no doubt.
I mean, 100%. But you know what's so funny about what you're saying is that at the end of the season, after Mike Tomlin's press conference, season-closing press conference, and I think I tweeted this, it sort of amazed me, it was that the Steelers were legitimately saying, we could say goodbye to arguably one of the two best running backs in the game and arguably one of the two best wide receivers in the game, and we think we'll be better for it as a team.
We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, we will see. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I like Juju a lot, but we saw what happened in the Cincinnati game, Week 17, when Juju was the focus of a defense. Antonio Brown doesn't get enough credit for the things that he's able to do on the field. I remember Jimmy Smith saying this to me. Jimmy Smith is just one in a long line of corners who said this to me, that he is the single most maddening receiver to ever cover because you have no predictability of what he's doing. But, of course, he only gets to play that way because he's playing with Ben. So now when he's not playing with Ben, what happens?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I imagine that I actually texted somebody with the Browns earlier this week, and I said, are you watching this and laughing? You know, like, does it make you feel sort of like, thank goodness it's not us?
Aditi, where do you think Odell Beckham plays this year?
Funny you say that, because one person who messaged
What do you got for us?
I don't know that he's in New York. I don't personally know him, so I should be careful, and I shouldn't traffic in speculation or gossip. I don't know, but that may not be the right fit for him.
Jay Glazer's bold prediction was he'll get traded. So you're not the only person
saying
that.
And Odell just tweeted, he just tweeted this: one day, everything will make all sense in the end. I promise you. Stories unfolding. It's all part of the journey. # just wait. I wonder what that means.
Don't you feel like that's a relationship that's also...
Yeah. I think the Browns should go all in and try to trade for him. Two first-round picks.
You know, remember, who are you bringing in? What sort of personality are you bringing in? And is that the personality you want? And if you already have one or two mercurial personalities, how many more can you handle?
Well, I think on a good team, he's fine. Jarvis Landry's his buddy. The wide receiver coach was his wide receiver coach in college. He already has a relationship with Baker Mayfield. I think the Browns would be a perfect fit for him.
Okay.
I believe that.
I bet I'd be spending a lot more time in Berea than I am in Pittsburgh this fall.
I know. We got to get you back. We got to do something to get you back here. Silly Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let me say this with you, because I was talking about this with a Steelers player yesterday. We were on the phone and we were chatting and talking about the Patriots. And this guy that I was talking to has never played anywhere other than Pittsburgh. And yeah. So he was kind of asking questions about, well, what are other quarterbacks like, or what are other teams like, or this or that. And so we're talking about the Patriots, and I said, all right, be honest. How many teams did you face this year that you think had more talent than the Patriots? So not just you, meaning that the Steelers did beat the Patriots and thought they were more talented. How many other teams did you see that you thought probably had more talent than the Patriots? And he said, 4 or 5. And then I said, okay. And the Patriots lifted their 6th trophy this year. I don't know that they would quibble that they weren't one of the lesser talented teams of, let's say, the top 10 or of the playoff teams or whatever. So what's that magic? What's that secret? It's not always about amassing the greatest collection of talent. It's how do those personalities fit, and how are those egos, how willing are the egos to be subverted? That's really the question. So, yeah, I mean, if you brought Odell Beckham in, that would be a heck of a lot of talent in one locker room. You already have a heck of a lot of talent in that locker room. But are you sure you've got this really good sort of ecosystem of personalities right now?
Yeah.
Be careful about what you're adding
into
that.
You just added Hunt, which we talked about, obviously, all last week. But, you know, one last thing, Aditi, we got to talk about Le'Veon Bell, because today the Steelers announced that they would not use the transition tag.
Right.
Explain to me why they're not going to do that. What is the downside for them of doing that?
Because I think that it was just going to be so overly complicated. Not only were you going to put the transition tag on, but then you would probably have to deal with arbitration or some sort of issue of what is the transition tag valued at. Because the Steelers would argue that it was based on a number that was lesser because Bell didn't play last year. Bell's camp and the NFLPA would argue differently, that the value of that is something. And then
they just didn't want to go through
everything
that.
Has yeah. to fall into place perfectly to execute and assign and trade to make it worthwhile getting the picks. And I think that after everything this team has been through the last 2 years, all of the, I'll call it drama, all of this drama, the headache just wasn't worth it. I mean, Le'Veon Bell right. has made pretty clear that he doesn't want to play with the Steelers.
Yep.
And then, as you guys said, I mean, and I have no idea. I haven't read the story. I don't know that I should give it any credence, but apparently there's a report out here that he's ballooned to 260 pounds.
Right.
Kevin Colbert is on top of everything he needs to be on top of. If that is indeed true, I'm sure Kevin Colbert knows it. And if he knows that, then what? And he did just post, I mean, Le'Veon Bell did just post a picture with something that looked an awful lot like rolling papers. In the photo. Did y'all see this?
No, I did not see that. Interesting.
I'll text it to you.
All yes. right.
So, you know, at some point, the Steelers have to say enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's move on and perhaps change the way we do business.
He deleted that?
Oh, he deleted it?
Oh, he did delete it.
Yeah.
Well, when did he post it, on Twitter or on Instagram?
On Twitter.
There's nothing.
It was, I think, on his birthday, and it had to do with playing video games, and in the bottom right corner were a series.
When was
I'll
this?
Text it to you guys.
Yeah, she'll tell. When was it? Do you know?
I'm looking through his
feed. A while ago?
A couple days ago.
Oh, a couple days ago. Yeah, all right, we'll check it out. Well, good
Not
stuff as
it.
Always.
Well, thanks always for having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we'll talk
I guess
to you.
I won't be seeing you for free agency.
I know, that's ridiculous.
Soon.
All right, well, we'll see you at training camp probably.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks, Aditi.
Take care.